I trust and thank you for this opportunity to be able to participate again, to enjoy the fellowship and service. It's been my privilege to enjoy it, to hear what we've been permitted to hear through this meeting. I feel like up for this very moment, thinking it has been outstanding. And I have been blessed to rejoice and repeat my question to what I've been permitted to hear, and I hope by the Lord's grace that I've been able to understand. Each one of these ministers, Christian brothers, has come forward and spoken the law of my spirit. They talk about the Lord and how he's goodness and mercy. And they honored and glorified his great and holy name. I believe that's what he came here for.
Amen.
If it isn't, we certainly couldn't have done it. Now, as I thought I'd come before you, I really enjoyed that report of preaching. And I did it with absolute contempt. Interest in your prayer. I'd like to call your attention for a little while, which is quickly found in the 4th chapter of the 2nd Corinthian letter. I'd like to read one verse. Paul says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves, your servant, to be the Christ. I don't believe these brethren have been preaching themselves. If anyone could have had reason or been able to preach themselves, certainly the apostles should have been able to do that. As been pointed out, they had first and evidently were able to actually see the things that we read about, to feel the things that have been said, to walk with the Savior, and to have communion with him. And yet, Paul says we preach not ourselves. But he says, but Christ Jesus the Lord. When Jesus called his disciples to him, and he said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they answered, and they said, some say it's our Elias, some John the Baptist, some are the prophets. But he said, whom do ye say that I am? Peter answered, and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Peter, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but our Father which is in heaven. Peter said a lot when he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Christ means the anointed one for the remission of sin. The Son of the living God was something the world has been hard to understand, even the Lord's people, to the years. When Christ was here on earth, they had difficulty realizing that he was truly the Son of God. But he was God, manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, sent of angels, believed in the world, preached with Gentiles, and received us in the glory. He was all of this. He was Christ, the Son of God. Now, Paul says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. This word, Lord, is what I was talking about for a while. The word, Lord, is not referred to in every place that the Bible refers to God. We find the word God, we find the word the Lord. Elion, El Shaddai, several other words. And one of those words that we find first, the Lord, we find the Lord speaking unto Moses in the sixth chapter of the book of Exodus, and he said, "And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known unto them." The word Jehovah and the Lord being the same, and the meaning of the word Jehovah means to be, or from the verb is. That's the strongest verb in the English language. When Jesus appeared, when the Lord appeared to Moses out of the burning bush and told him to go down into Egypt, Moses said, "Whom shall I say sent?" And the Lord said, "Tell them that I am that I am." This word Jehovah has seven compound names. The first name that Jehovah has that we were talking about for a little while is the name Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. And the meaning of this name has been referred to by several of the brethren that have gone before, which means the Lord will, or the Lord of Jehovah, our provider. God is a provider. Elder Daniel this afternoon referred to the fact that when Isaac asked Abraham, he said, "Father, here's the wood, here's the fire, where the offering." And Abraham said, "God will supply himself a lamb for an offering. He'll provide himself a lamb for an offering." When we began to look about us and realize what God has provided, it becomes greater and greater. One of the brothers just referred a few moments ago to the fact that we have nothing which we have not received. What do we have that God hasn't provided but sin? When we stood in need of deliverance, God provided. He's the person. I've been asked the question from time to time, why did Adam sin? He knew better. Adam didn't sin secretly. The Bible says that the woman was in the, Adam was not in the transgression, but the woman was in the transgression. If Adam understood, then why did he sin? Now, perhaps we might find some different opinions there. But as best I understand it, he sinned because he loved his wife. And he wanted to be where she was, to deliver her off. But when Adam went to where she was, he could no more, he could not deliver her, neither could he deliver himself. Adam needed a provider. He needed a deliverer. And the only source by which this could be would be from God himself. The prophet said, "Out of Sion shall come the deliverer that the far away ungodliness from Jacob." This deliverer in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ was typified when God came upon the scene and began to talk with Adam and Eve and to the serpent, asked the serpent what his issue has done. And he said, he told the serpent, he said, "The seed of the woman shall bruise thy head. Thy seed shall bruise his heel, but the seed of the woman shall bruise thy head. Here was the Lord was looking from the very earliest moment of time to the deliverance of his children, the Lord Jesus Christ, providing deliverance for them. How can we charge God with lack of knowledge or lack of understanding when from the very beginning of time he was able to look down and anticipate the needs of his children and prepare that remedy for them even before the disease ever broke out? Isaiah tells us in the 46th chapter, he says, God through the end, from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Send the ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a foreign country. Now that was Cyrus historically, it was quite spiritual.
Amen.
So the Lord looked down to the end of time and saw what was needed and provided for that. The greatest gift that has ever been given to mankind was the gift of the Savior, the Son of God. I love John 3:16, where Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I love that. If it's properly and rightly applied, it's a beautiful truth. Jehovah Jireh. Yes, my friends, God is a provider. Not only did he provide a Savior for his children, but he provides for everything that he's created here in the world. I remember once, just several years ago, he provided for them, and he still provides for them. He even feeds the raven. And he can make the raven feed his children. Jehovah Jireh, yes, he is the provider. The next one we have is Jehovah Rapha, which means Jehovah our healer. I'd like to have more time on each one of these, but I don't have. Jehovah our healer. Now you may have not considered the Lord in that sense. Our God is so great and so magnificent. He fills so many offices and so many positions, and he's so wonderful until unless we are able, for the grace of God, to look beyond self with its narrow understanding, we'll never understand much of the Lord. But God is a healer. It amazes me when Christ was here upon earth as they brought multitudes of people to him. Have you ever read of one that was not healed? The Bible just plainly said he healed them all. He healed them all. They brought a little boy to Jesus one time. They first brought this young boy to his disciples to cast out an unclean spirit, and the disciples could not cast it out. And they brought the young lad to Jesus, and they said, Master, this boy has this disease, he falls in the fire and so forth, and said, we brought him to your disciples to be cast out. And the father said he couldn't cast them out. They couldn't cast it out. And Jesus says, oh, ye of little faith, how long shall I suffer you? How long shall I be with you? Then he said unto the father, he says, believest thou that I can do this? And the father spoke my experience. He said, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Yes, friends, how many times does unbelief cause us so much trouble and distress in this life? Every form of force that decoys us or leads us away from the Lord is some phase or form of unbelief in some sense. It's the evil way. Now, we may not charge it to that. We may think it's something else. But it's some form of unbelief. And the Father said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And Jesus reprimanded the unclean spirit, and it came out of the young boy and let down his throat on the ground. God, he was able to heal. I doubt if there's one under the sound of my voice that hadn't in some time gone to the Lord for some type of healing. What if our bodies didn't heal, naturally speaking? I was talking with a friend not too long ago, and we were talking about this, and we were discussing the subject of healing, and I told him this. I said, do you realize at every time that that an injury is healed in your body, it's the Lord naturally healing that injury. But God not only can heal the natural injuries of life, but he can heal the spiritual. He is troubles and diseases of this life. I've wondered many times this time how many diseases there are of the spirit. But you know, there's many ways that the Lord's people can become sick. The apostle was writing there to the church, and he says, many of you are weak, some are sick, and some sleep. Some of them were sick and some were sleeping. My friend, I'm speaking of one who is able to heal our infirmities. I used to hear one of our old brothers when he get down to pray, said, Lord, heal our infirmities, strengthen our faith. Isn't that wonderful? Heal our infirmities. How many times will we be able to look in within ourselves? The brother has spoken of the fact that when we can see ourselves as a poor, lost and ruined sinner here in this world, that's an evident fact that we're a child of God. I'll tell you, brother, I've got a lot of evidence then. I'm a child of God. Because when I look within myself sometimes, I'm like the old poet. When he says, what pain, what? I can't see any good. The Apostle Paul said that in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. If he felt like that, what about a poor wretch like me? But God is able to heal, my friend. The Apostle Peter tells us that by his stripes we are healed. I wonder if we realize that's what he means. By his stripes we are healed. By that simply means that if his little children are ever permitted to stand with him in the blessed place and eternal rest, it will be because Jesus was healed. The stripes that were laid upon him healed his children. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? Certainly it's a vicarious death, a substitutionary death, that Jesus died upon the cross. When Jesus left heaven and was glory, he came here not among his friends. He didn't come here to act among people in the world that would receive him with great gratitude. But Jesus came among enemies. The Apostle Paul right into the church at Rome in 5:12, he says, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled with God by the death of his Son. How much more? Being reconciled by his death, we should be saved by his life. My friends, Jesus is our healer. He heals our infirmities. He came to heal his children. And what Jesus came to do, he accomplished what he did. I'll go back to the old prophet Isaiah. And the prophet Isaiah says, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sins, he shall see his seed, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. In the travail of his soul, he shall be satisfied. But when Jesus died upon the cross, and when his soul was made an offering for sin, he could look down to the annals of time, and he could see his seed, and see them heal, my brother, from all their sufferings. And in the travail of his soul, he was satisfied. Isn't that a wonderful to think about? My friend, there was satisfaction, even though that his soul was suffering the agony of death, while he hung upon that cruel cross, and his blood streamed down that cross, and hung there between two thieves. But you know, at the last part of this episode, where these thieves turned to him, and he said, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. And Jesus said unto him, he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. So I tell you, it's comforting to me to think, moreover, that Jesus came by himself here upon one of his children, for the sight of him. Out of God, he is our healer. Yes, he is our Jehovah Rapha. The next one is Jehovah Nissi, or Jehovah our banner. Our banner. My friend, David tells us, he says, there is a banner which shall be given to them that it might be displayed because of the truth. It didn't say because of a truth, but because of the truth. The banner by that cloak over the child tip over the house of God is displayed because of the truth that it sets forth. That's Jehovah's banner. Oh, yes, friends. If we had to go into battle,
And you can look up and see the stars and stripes as it went ahead of the army. Would it be not to you that the cause for which you were fighting was a good cause? You were fighting for your loved ones. You were fighting for your country. You were fighting for the principles that you feel right. Here in the world, when you look up and you can see that stars and stripes floating over the army. Well, I tell you, friend, there's a banner. Oh, God, children, that displays it is displayed because of truth. I tell you, that's a wonderful thing when you think what the truth is. When I was a little boy, used to go to school, the children, they knew my father was a minister, and they said, well, what's the difference between your church and our church? And I got to where I said, well, we got the truth, and you have it. That's the difference. That didn't make me no comfort. Well, I want to tell you, friend, that the God, the church has the truth. Lord Jesus, aren't you thankful today that you have the truth? It's almost constantly some old sister or someone will come to me after service and say, brother, I'm thankful that we've got the truth. I tell you, if you're talking to God, I haven't heard that anywhere else. I'll have to hear our brothers. I'll have for them to come and tell me that they believe that we've got the truth. I say, I just want to know more of the truth. That's what I want to know. When Jesus was speaking there to those brethren in the 14th chapter of St. John, and Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, he was displaying to us because of the truth. I told him all about the truth, what it really means. That's how it's called. The truth is the opposite to every false thing in this world. There's nothing connected with the truth that's false. Jesus came here in the world, and he, that's what I'm talking about. I could say, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. My friends, he was telling you that there was nothing nothing about him that was not pure in every sense of the term. Isn't it wonderful thing? When we have a Savior like that, then no wonder the Apostle Paul, the Apostle, was saying to the Hebrew church, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was tempted no matter like as we. For such a high priest, it says, became us, who was holy of hearts, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. My friend, here's what we have in Lord Jesus Christ. We have truth, the manifested in the banner of truth that goes to the house of God. The next one we have is Shale, which means peace. Rabbi Shale. When you go out there, the word Shale means peace. And when you go to Jerusalem, the Arab children come out, and the only thing they have to say is Shale, Shale. That's the only word they know is peace, peace. That's a Rabbi of Jehovah. Our peace, the child of God, and we realize tonight what this means, because the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus is our peace, and he says, my peace, I give unto you, not as the world giveth, I give I unto you, that blessed peace, that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends in all this world, there is a way in which that Jesus did bring peace, and he said, I came not to bring peace, but a sword, I came to say, a man is buried with his wife, and a father with a daughter, there is a way in which God didn't bring peace, but there the blessed peace that is upon the house of God is a lot of this world. There is a glorious peace, my brother, that being to God's children, or at peace with God. Now I'm not talking about the lower court, I'm talking about the higher court. I'm being to the lower court and a higher court, and Jesus represented you in the higher court. He made peace with you, with God. That's what Paul said. He was in the latter part of the fourth chapter of Romans. He says he was delivered for our offenses. He rose again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith in this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. My friend, God's children have a peace that passes understanding. You are at peace with the Father. You may not be at peace with yourself. You may not be at peace with your own conscience. You have to work that out. We have to prove the faith, bring about that peace. But my friend, God's children, the Lord made peace for his people, and he spoke comfortably unto the Gentiles. You remember in the Old Testament, he said, "Oh, he afflicted that all the tents in my comforting." He said, "I will lay your terrible sapphire for all these things." And then we go to the third chapter of Ephesians, and he spoke to the same people again. And he said, "Ye which were far off are now made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the wall of partition between us, so making peace." My friends, God's people have a peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the apostle speaks of the God of peace through the certain things in the New Testament. Yes, the God of peace, he is peace. Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah our peace. Next one is the Jehovah Raah, which means Jehovah our shepherd. Jehovah our shepherd. David referred to him as his shepherd. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And many times in my meditations and in my thoughts, I like to think of the Lord as my shepherd. David said, "We are the sheep of his pasture." The Lord is our shepherd. Follow him here in the world. You know, a shepherd is one that has such knowledge that he is able to not only supply the needs of the flock, but he is able to watch out for all the dangers and all the things that confront the flock from time to time. And Jesus is that shepherd. Yes, the old prophet said, "Smite the shepherd, and the sheep should be scattered. But I'll turn my hand," the Lord said, "I'll turn my hand upon the Lord." He's the shepherd of the sheep. What a wonderful thought it is to think about the shepherd of the sheep. Oh, yes, my friends, we hear Jesus speaking. And Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that is not by the door of the sheepfold, but findeth up some other way. The same is a thief and a robber, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice." By that, Jesus was truly the shepherd that came in, and he came in by the door of prophecy. If he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but cometh up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Jesus told his disciples while he was here in the world, he said, "There are so many come after me, saying they are the Messiah, or they're the Son of God." And you know that's been true. We've had several that come claiming to be the Son of God. Remember here several years ago in France, where there was one that rose up claiming to be the Messiah. And he obtained such a following until the brothers became concerned about him. And they began to wonder if actually it could be. So they finally consulted one old prophet, or one old brother, and went to him. And he didn't seem too concerned about it. He said, "There's one sure way that you can prove whether that he truly is the Messiah or not." He said, "You crucify him. If he rises and from the grave the first day, then you can believe in him." I pray that the Spirit of that as you have. If we have a shepherd that suffered and was crucified and went into the grave and raised on Joseph's tomb for 3 days, what on the third day he arose and came out of that tomb. The day I stand before you, I declare, my brother, that we have one who has risen and alive. The Old Testament, so many times, when it refers to the fact that Jesus was crucified, it'll say he died and rose again. You know, if Jesus hadn't risen from the grave, you wouldn't have a hope of heaven. Notice what the Apostle Paul said. He said, "For if while we are enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, and much more being reconciled by his death, we shall be saved by his life." If Jesus had only gone in that tomb and had not come out of that tomb, my brother, you wouldn't have a hope of heaven. And what would glory do? you that the Lord might be reconciled, but you wouldn't live with him in glory. But Jesus did come out of that tomb. When those women came to the tomb, and they began to wonder, as they came to that place, who would roll away the stone? But when they came to that place, the stone had already been rolled away, and they and Jesus wasn't there. And so there appeared one before them, and said, and they asked him, they said, he is not here, he's risen. Come to the place where the Lord lay. I'll tell you, your child of God tonight, that if we have the truth, then the origin of that those principles is in the tomb. Any time that you find a set of principles set forth as a religion or the church, the Lord Jesus Christ here in the world, you're going somewhere, sometime you're going to find a full tomb. You're going to find that when you find the origin of that set of principles, there's going to be somebody sleeping in that tomb. But thank you, God, here it is, the tomb. He's not here, he's risen. Yes, he has risen over death, out of the grave. Oh, yes, my friend, he has come out of that grave victorious. And we're not worshiping the God behind us. That is not overcoming. That is not a victorious God. But the Apostle Paul said, thanks be to God who gave us the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, my friend, he said, when this is not full, shut up full of the instruction and this war of the Lord for company, this is going to pass the same death. It's far up in victory. Thank you to God who give us the victory. We have a victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our shepherd. I tell you, brethren, we've got something to be thankful for. We've got a shepherd that watches over us while we sojourn here in this old ground of sin and sorrow. And at times, can you look back in your life and you can feel like somewhere God has turned you around. Maybe you've started some times in life. It'll seem like one of the greatest catastrophes you ever face in this world. You think that the worst thing that can happen, but you go back to God and look back, and you can see the providence of heaven, God, that will turn you around. And you can thank God. Oh, yes, thank God that I didn't continue on that course. I can see through mentally on that point. God, we have a shepherd, and it is wonderful to realize that shepherd is always near. He always knows about us. There's not a thing about me which he didn't know about. And I'm thankful that he knows my heart. He knows my frame. He knows my heart. And they said, Lord, he said, thou knowest my frame. Thou knowest that I'm just the child of God. That's all we are. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. Yes, he is our shepherd. And he also, so forget, the next one is that in you, our righteousness, Jehovah's in you, which means the Lord our righteousness. Now, my friend, I know this may not sound good, this song, but if you're depending upon your words just to take you to heaven and I'm going to go to you, you're going to be disappointed because we're not going to take you there. This is what the old prophet said. David said, the Lord of heaven looked down upon the sons of men to see if there were any that do good, if there were any that did to the God, and he said, they're all together become filthy. He said, there is none good. No, not good. It doesn't sound very good. No, brother, there's none good. No, not good. Not even one of them. And Paul tells us in the first chapter of Romans, he said, we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. Well, my friend, if that's the case, then how are we going to get to how are we going to reach heaven and the Lord's glory? Well, I'd like to call your attention to Romans 5:19. And the Apostle Paul said, for if one man full of the disobedience of one man, a many remain sinners, even so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So what he's talking about, the righteousness of Christ is imputed at the poor off and ruined sinners here in the world, and through that blessed righteousness, they're going to stand before God. Oh, it is wonderful when Jesus prayed to the Father in the 17th chapter of St. John, and he said, Father, glorify thy Son with the glory, and I hand to thee for the world laws, and thou hast given him power over all flesh, that they should give him eternal life to his many, and thou hast given him. He said, Father, thine they were, thou gavest to me. I would that they might be with me, for I am, and behold, my glory. Child of God, they're going to be there, just as sure. Amen. The reason I can say that is because of the righteousness of the Son of God.
Oh, He was righteous. And He imputed that righteousness to them. Oh, friend, we have done it ourselves. The old prophet said, our righteousness are in us filthy rags. It is us in His holy sight. Now, when I say, well, if this is true, then surely there's nothing for us to do. We just going about our business here in the world and just live any way we want to. Well, I'll tell you, dear child of God, if you understand what I'm talking about, you won't have much sense to it. You won't turn away from those things, brother. Because here's something so much better than what anything this world has to offer. The old prophet Job said, there is a path of no foul water for those who are dry and not seen. The lion's web have not trodden upon it. It's hid from the things of this world. And Jesus said, Father, I am bowing to you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that there is hid these things of the wise and true men are being true to they be, O Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. And your child of God will have God's people off their shout the praise of God for what they've got here in the world. They'll be like Joshua. When Joshua had the children of Israel cross of the Jordan River and the city of Jericho and all fell down, just away from him, he said, shout, God has given you the city. Oh, the head of your child of God, you ought to shout. God has given you something to learn. You need to go and think about but blessed and joy all that is here in the world. Oh, friends, you've got something in this world, is what I'm trying to talk about. Yes, Jehovah redeemed you, the Lord our righteousness. Now the seventh one is Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah, which means the Lord ever present. The Lord ever present. How wonderful to think about the Lord being present. I tell you, brethren, if I didn't believe when I left my home in the morning that the Lord would be present here, I wouldn't have come. I'd have bet to come down here, there was another pastor who would come along with me, and he kept telling me that the Lord probably won't be there, and if He is, He won't bless you and all these things. I'll have you come. I can't help. He gets along with me, and I can't help him a long time. But the Lord said, resist me, you'll flee from me, and I do the best I can to resist you. But listen, brother, it means something when you say the Lord is there. The old prophet Ezekiel, the very last verse of the last chapter of Ezekiel, said the city shall be full of the Lord is there. Oh, friends, how much better things to do. You know, my chest just expands about an inch or two when someone visits our church and says, and at the church, they'll say, I know more about it than the other church I've ever seen. What does that tell me? It tells me the Lord is there. Oh, yes, brother, it tells me the Lord is there. And I love to feel like that He is there. That's what a blessing it is. But you know, it's a wonderful thing when we look back and we can see the Lord is there. Poor old Jacob, as he stepped in the desert, stopped one night and fell one night, he took off and a stone and made a pillow out of it and laid his head upon it. And while he slept, he dreamed a dream, and the ladder was down from heaven, and saw angels descending and ascending upon that ladder. And God spoke to him out of heaven and said, I'm God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac, and I'm your God on the soul. And confirmed the promise He had made to Abraham, to Jacob's father, and to his grandfather. Abraham woke up and said, the Lord was here, and I lived not. I would have had your child of God. Many times the Lord is there, and we know it's not. But you know, we look back, and Jacob told the heirs to look back, God has been upon that scene. And said, your child of God, many times we see the evidence that the Lord has been there. Oh, yes, friend. Happy is the home when God is there. Oh, yes, when every time that I perform a ceremony for a young couple in marriage, I try to pray that God will bless that home. I tell you, friend, we're in a perilous condition in our nation today. You may not realize that this nation is in a terrible condition. And when you look in the school rooms and most of the students are broken families, and you look around you and you see horrible crimes that are being committed on every hand. And you see people that don't care what kind of life they live. But just little harem scaring me in the world, I tell you, dear child of God, we're in deep trouble. If ever we ought to pray that God would manifest Himself in such a way that people might realize that God is necessary, that they serve Him and obey Him while they live here in the world. But it's now.
It's now we need the salvation of God. Not in my pocket, but our eternal salvation. One of the old prophets said, somebody goes to the harvest of passion, we're not saved. I said, it's your time of God. This is something we need to think about. We need to be saved. Get off of Paul's home today. He says, take heed of thyself and the doctrine, and continue in death, for it's so good that I suppose save thyself and then appear to thee. I said, you know what? These brothers, these ministers of the gospel, have got a terrific response. Every time when they come before God's children, they've got the blood of Israel upon their hands. And if they're faithful to God, the blood will be removed from them and will be on your hands. But if they're not, they'll still be held responsible. Oh, child of God, it means something. And we need the presence of God. He's power every day. We live here in the world. But some sweet day, my friend, we're going to see him as he is. And when he comes from heaven back to this earth, and yet we're going to see him in all of his glory. I thought about that many times, and his brother had talked about it some days ago. My blessed Savior is coming back to this earth. He's going to rend the eastern skies and come back and make them all give up and the south will want back to bring my sons to the power and my daughters from the end of the earth. What a blessing that will be. And his own graves are going to be opened and the dead shall come out. They're going to come out, my brother, in the power of an endless life. They're not going to come out with all the tormentors of flesh that they went into that grave. But they're going to come out in the power of God. When they come out of that tomb, they'll be with him forever and to live with him. What a glorious thing it is. I'll tell you, Bob, I'll tell you a little thing that happened several years ago. I had a funeral in a little town about 60 miles east of where I live. I had a minister of the denomination assisted me. We go to the cemetery, and as we went under the Luther Archway in the cemetery, as we went under, I asked him a question. I said, what would it be like in the resurrection morning? And he says, chaos. Well, I tell you, your child of God, what a shame. So we don't know where that's called in that. I tell you, we've got, when our Lord comes back to this world, for God never made a chaotic move in his life. Would you, when our Lord comes back to this earth again, he's going to have a thing that will be in order, just like other blessed tongues that they saw about. David referred to the fact that he said, although my house be not so with God, then he said, with me everlasting covenant, ordered all things sure. And he said, all my salvation, if all that is our, although they could not to grow, I said to your child of God, the covenant of breaking our own thing. But it's David said, it's all my salvation, and it's all that is our, why the call. It's ordered, and all things, and it's sure, brethren. It's not the only thing. Chapter 5, where he said, you shall not fail to be discouraged. He said, judgment in the earth, and I shall wait for his law. No, he's not going to fail. You're not serving the failing God. Worship is one that is successive in all his ways. The Hebrew church is a God of peace. He born again, our Lord Jesus. The great shepherd of the God of peace born again, but is that great shepherd of sheep. He's the blessed and everlasting pleasant. Make you partner in the way you do this will work in you. That which is well seen in his life. May this be yours, my dear precious children. This blessed shepherd, this blessed Savior, may he be present with you and with us. With the comforting fact that only he can be everywhere and ask him to help us. With the comforting fact that only that we can go out into the world and that the Lord can not come to our loved ones whatever they are. I was in the service one time when I was in the first part of the service. And I was in the service one time. And one thing was a great comfort to me all the time I was in the service. I knew that there was a young three-headed father that was praying for me. Every day, I was in the service. And I was 1,000 miles away from home and sick. I knew that his prayers were there. Oh yes, the Lord is a blessing him to pray because he knew where I was. But when I had to see my children leave my home and go out in the world, I prayed that God would be with me and he could be with me. And the hardest thing God would do was let my children, let my daughters, two daughters in California one time. They go over there to the jury. I couldn't see this. This is the block of their parents. I'm sleeping before.
Thank you.